Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. So death.
Plan for you today. Just as a reminder, global14.com is still making updates to the site. We really and truly appreciate your patience. Also, with those of you that are just tuning in and know absolutely nothing about global14.com, make sure you join. I mean, we all have a really good time, good conversation in there, good or bad. It's really good conversation, good adult conversation. Some people can't take it, some can't, but either way, still entertainment, and we love it. So if you aren't on global14.com, this is some of the things that you are missing. Global 14 and 14, meet and greet, starts in 2 weeks. People, if you are not going to attend any of these events, I'm telling you right now, you are going to feel left out when we're all on global14.com posting pictures and telling stories, you know. I mean, really, try to make it to some of the meet and greet events. And, you know, if you can't, maybe you can jump in somebody's car. Maybe you can hop in somebody's ride with them, carpool or something. Who knows? But either way, go to global14.com for updates. All right, so this week, JD will be pretty much, he has a pretty hectic schedule this week. Thursday, he's at Tryst in Vegas. Friday, Hampton Homecoming in VA. And Saturday, Howard Homecoming in D.C. Homecoming in Hampton and D.C. Yeah, I miss those days. So I know it's going to be a lot of fun. Shout out to Corey and Tad and JD. I hope you guys have fun this weekend. Yo, this weekend, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but T.I. released his remix to Niggas in Paris. Yo, it was hot. I mean, I know a lot of people weren't expecting it. If you weren't on Twitter, you didn't see it when he did the countdown. But at the same time, yo, you can find it on the net. Go check it out. And now, speaking of music releases, I don't know if a lot of people didn't know or what, and I don't know what's going on, but our man Joe is coming out with a new CD, a new album, The Good, The Bad, The Sexy. I've already heard it. It sounds really good. Joe never disappoints. I've never had a Joe CD that I've been like, okay, this is trash. Never, 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 which is why I wanted to do a review, because doing my research looking for new music releases this week, I saw this and I was kind of surprised because I didn't even know it myself. So if you like true R&B and you love his last album, Signature, check this out as well. I want to give my Lifer fam a little review. I like the single he dropped, Losing You, upbeat tempo, but the songs that I love the most from Joe are the Makeup Sex, I Want My Woman Back, I'm the Man of the House, and You Need to Stop Tripping type of ballads. That's what Joe is known for. Like, he puts out real music, and it all sounds good. You can all vibe to it. One of the tracks, Almost There, is about a man and a woman going from a friendship to a love affair. Hot song, we've all been there before. Pull My Hair, yeah, all of that. Sexy-ass song, really, really good song. That's all I'm going to say about that. Slow Kisses is about making love without sex, people. Foreplay, get into it. We need to get back to what intimacy is all about. Follow up with the tracks Lose Control and Tonight, and somebody is probably going to tap out. Won't be me, though, so I'm not worried about that one. And then one of the other tracks I wanted to tell you guys about, if possible, is a really good song. I know everyone has been through this situation, especially with the economy the way that it is. Being in a relationship with someone who wants you to do the impossible, and it's never enough. You know, all that nagging and shit, and you don't have enough money for this and all this other stuff. So, really impossible. I think a lot of people will definitely love that song. Well, that's my review for Joe. Pick it up tomorrow on iTunes, The Good, The Bad, The Sexy. All right, so we do got a follow-up report on Rick Ross. He's well, back on the grind. He attended his Wingstop opening in Memphis last night. DJ Khaled, you know, was nice enough to offer up his tour bus for Rosé, which, you know, I can see why he would. Anybody would. Who wants to continue to keep jumping on a flight and having to, you know, be in the middle of an emergency landing every single time right after takeoff? I know that it has to be hard on his body, especially with him having these seizures. So hopefully Rosé will get some rest, and I hope he gets well soon. You know, that's all we can hope for, you guys. Take care of yourself. That's all we ask for. All right, so let's get in for the quickies. Let's get into the quickies for the day. The Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial was officially dedicated Sunday. Some of you may not know, they were trying to do this back in August 28th to be exact, the anniversary of the 1963 March on Washington when King delivered, you know, his world-altering I Have a Dream speech. But, you know, Hurricane Irene messed that all up. You know, I really need to take a flight to see this monument. Because of King, I'm allowed to be here and be me, you know. Because of King, I feel like me and Jeezy are here doing this show together, black and white, you know, that without King fighting for our rights and, you know, getting everyone to see that this is what the American dream is, I don't think we would be able to do this. So you definitely, you know, I think we all need to try to make a trip out there and pay homage to the man. You know, the dream still lives on, and I think we need to continue this fight for justice and humility for all people, regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation. We need to continue this dream. So my boy Jeezy, what's up, homie? Uh-oh. Here we are. What's up, Jeezy?
Not much. What's going on?
Hey, so, you know, with this King monument, do you think, you know, with the speech that happened, the speeches and the dedication that happened yesterday, do you think we still have a long way to go? And what do you think individually we can do to contribute to this dream?
You know, really, I feel like we've made a lot of headway, really, from where we were the day he gave the speech, but I mean, we still have a way to go. There's still people with their head up their ass, and they really need to get it out because they need to stop being so small-minded and realize that they're just excluding people just for little things that really, I mean, they stand, like race or something, that stands for a lot for that individual, but you should never really judge that. Like, I would never look at somebody and say, oh, you're a man and you're like a man, I can't associate with you. What if that person's a really good person? I mean, you can't cut that out of life, but I mean, I feel like we still have a lot of headway to make, but then again, we've also made a ton of headway from where we were that day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sometimes you feel like we've taken a step back with some things, but overall, I think individually, I think that we all have a duty and a responsibility to not only, you know, be kind to other people, but, you know, teach the ones that are coming up under us, you know, to do the same thing. So definitely that's on my to-do list, go out there and see this monument. All right. Excuse me. Sorry about that. My allergies, you guys. All right. So in Pennsylvania, three adults were arrested for keeping four mentally disabled adults locked up in a 10 by 15 foot basement and stealing their Social Security check. So four adults, that's three men, one woman. One of the men was chained to a boiler. They were all, you know, they were all like delirious, malnourished. They had a metal bucket and a jug of what appeared to be orange juice, but no food. The things people do to other people baffles me, Gigi. Like, WTF. What is going on?
Yeah, I would ask you a question really quick. Did you see the three people that were arrested?
Yeah, they all look like they were on crack or something, but I was just like,
yeah.
Yo.
I mean, they looked like they were the ones personally that should have been receiving the check. I don't know why they had to be stealing someone else's. It looks like they should have been getting their own disability checks.
Right.
I mean, these people, they just looked ridiculous. They looked like the ones that they were mental.
Yeah, and most likely they are. You know, for someone to do that to especially three mentally disabled adults was just, you know, just too much. You know,
yeah,
so
something definitely wasn't wired right.
Yeah, something wasn't right. So everyone's probably wondering, how were they found? Check this out. Thursday, the landlord got a call from the neighborhood watch about some suspicious activity. He went to the basement and didn't see anything. Like, he saw, like, a dog bowl, so he was thinking, okay, someone's trying to hide a dog. But Saturday, Saturday when he came back around, he heard a dog barking. He went back down to the basement and saw the door chain. Once he removed the chain, he found the people. This right here, you guys, is just ridiculous. And the thing about it is, when the landlord opened the door, the adults that were down there, they didn't know. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know what to do. They couldn't even answer the landlord. And that's so sad for someone to be that terrified and delirious that they can't even really answer. They don't know how to defend themselves. So I really hope, you know, those people get what they deserve. This is so ridiculous, Gigi.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get how anybody can do. I mean, even a normal person, how can anybody chain them up in a basement for something like that? And
yeah.
The whole thing's ridiculous. And luckily, the landlord did find them. And the landlord even said that he thinks if it went on a day longer, who knows what would have happened to these people. So thankfully, they were found when they were.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, thank God for Neighborhood Watch and all the nosy people in the neighborhood. Like I said, look, hey, sometimes people don't like the nosy people in the neighborhood, but in this case, you got to thank God for them. So, all right, so this past weekend, we lost Indy 500 winner Dan Weldon. I know that a lot of people, some people that I know are like, you know, that's such a dangerous sport. But, you know, he died Sunday at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway after his car became consumed in a fiery 15-car pileup. His car flew over another vehicle and landed in a catch fence just outside turn two. This man was 33 years old, guys, a two-time Indy winner, including this year's race. Our prayers go out to those affected by this tragedy. It's like so many people are dying so young. And, Jeezy, this guy was so, so young.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's really sad that he died. But, I mean, he's gone. And, I mean, some people really should. I mean, at least in somewhat of a positive view of it. Most people don't get to do this. I mean, at least this guy did what he loved. I mean,
right.
Look, I mean, he has accreditations to show it, and he at least, I know, I hope, if I die, it's either very peaceful, which unfortunately it wasn't for this guy, or at least I die doing something that I love when I'm happy.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. Which we're going to get into that topic tomorrow because there's this guy, the guy that popped up and said that the world was going to end back in May. So now he's saying it's supposed to end on Friday. But we have a really good topic tomorrow that I want to talk about. You know, I want to know, aren't you guys living your best life right now? So I really want to get into that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I want to get into that tomorrow because a lot of us, we struggle and we stress every day and we forget to live. Like, you have to live. So we're definitely going to have a really good conversation about that tomorrow. All right, so I don't know if you guys noticed or even realize this. We are approaching a month since Occupy Wall Street started. And something I had been hoping wouldn't happen popped off. 88 protesters from Occupy Wall Street in New York were arrested. Officers and protesters could have been, you know, were seen shoving back and forth, and, you know, it just turned into a situation that I was hoping wouldn't happen. You know, Jeezy, what are your thoughts on this, homie?
You know, I mean, it really pisses me off that people are getting, I mean, it might just be shoving, but I mean, they're getting somewhat violent. And if they start getting violent in this protest, they're going to completely blow the whole damn thing, because protesting violence, one thing, but if everything starts just turning into complete chaos, the whole cause is going to go to shit, and it's going to end. Like, they're going to bring down the whole protest if they start getting that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
I see it.
Yeah, and I mean, over the weekend in Chicago, well, actually today in Chicago, 175 people were arrested because they decided to form a chain and they refused to leave the park. And I know over the weekend there were some people, it was also in Chicago, they were protesting, and they were sitting in they had tents set up in the park, and policemen said, hey, you got to get out of here. The park's curfew's at 11. It's past 11. It's 1 in the morning. They refused to leave. Some of them sat in their tents thinking, well, how the hell are these guys going to get me out? Well, the cops were dragging them out of their tents and even disassembling the tents right there with them in it. So, I mean,
what?
Shit like, it's shit like that. That's just freaking crazy. And I mean, they can't start breaking the law and getting violent with this, because the whole thing will go to shit and then it's a lost cause. But I mean, the protests are spread over 80 countries, and as far as I know, I'm assuming they're in every state. I mean, where I live in Indiana, they're even spreading to every city now, outside the city county buildings and stuff like that. So it's all ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's growing, because I really do think it stands for a great cause, and those voices need to be heard, but I mean, they just can't be getting aggressive with it.
Yeah, definitely. We don't want this to turn into a bloodbath and people just, you know, getting locked up, and I mean, it's just, we can get this done, you know, peacefully, guys, so hopefully it doesn't get worse than this. So, but another thing that happened, though, what I don't know if a lot of people found out. I know I found out last night that Cornel West was arrested on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. And then this morning, because last night Raheem Devon, it wasn't in the news, but today, this morning, I saw Raheem Devon was also arrested. So, you know, Cornel West, they said he's doing fine, and Raheem is doing fine, and they said that Cornel will be making sure we will hear about, you know, him being arrested in that experience soon. So, I don't know, do you know, Jeezy, it's nice to see more celebs and public figures get out there and fight for the cause, you know. I don't know, man, do you think that it's going to get worse?
You know, I honestly do, because you start moving into cities and the law, I mean, like you said, it's already gone on a month. It doesn't seem like it even. And when you think about all the people that don't have a job and they support a cause like this, what are they going to do? They're going to go protest. I honestly only see more protesters showing up and the protests spreading, which, you know, that's going to eventually piss some people off. So they're just going to say, get the hell out of here. We're tired of seeing you every day. Because other people aren't going to be able to live their lives who necessarily aren't as affected by this as much directly. So, I mean,
right.
I honestly do see it getting worse, more people probably being arrested, because just the general public's going to get fed up and pissed off. So, I mean, yeah, I see it going that direction, honestly.
Yeah, it's wild and crazy, man. I you know, there's one thing that I don't know. It's a lot for me to take in really right now, because I hate when people get into this predicament and they can't get out, or, you know, just people just start being mad violent, and you have those few stragglers that'll just start doing dumb stuff just to be doing it. So, you know, once again, my prayers go out to those that are protesting. You know, I know I'm on this show and I'm talking and I'm not out there, but definitely, you know, I do pray for you guys that are out there and fighting for these rights, you know, and doing what you believe. So, all right, so another story that came out. 3 of the 5 that accused Eddie Long of sexual misconduct were dropped by their lawyers due to violating the confidentiality agreement. That's $300,000 apiece. I don't know what to say about this because, for me, the thing that I don't like about this is really touchy, and the thing that I don't like about this is that it's so public, and he's already out there, and, you know, he's out there. He will never admit what he did to those boys. And we all know that, and now it's becoming a, okay, you broke the confidentiality agreement, so I want my money back type thing. And I think it's embarrassing. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's very embarrassing. You know, I wish that, I don't know how they could have handled this differently, but I wish it could have been handled differently. So, I don't know. At the same time, people, you know, take care of yourself. It's ironic that we're doing a show on domestic violence and sexual abuse. Beth Morrison from Haven will be on here shortly. But, you know, if any of you guys are listening or going through something like this, please get help. You're not alone. Like, you can get help. There's someone out there that is willing to help you, you know, so definitely call. Whoever you need to call, call 911. 911 will give you the answer, you know, and point you in the right direction. There's a national domestic violence hotline at 1-800-799-7233. I mean, you guys can call this number, 1-800-799-7233. Please call it. If you are in danger, if you know anyone that is in danger, please call that number, all right? So, another update I just got from our crew about Occupy Wall Street. Mayor Reed in Atlanta just extended the protester stay in Woodruff Park till November 7th. So, you know, they're getting support. They are getting support out there. So I just wanted to drop that off real quick and give you guys an update on that. But once again, on top of the protest, on top of, you know, us getting together and fighting together, you know, all these different things are what King wanted us to do together and fight for each other's rights and make our communities better. So I think we all have a duty to keep doing what we need to do. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead, and Jeezy, if you're ready, let's go ahead and do the World Report real quick.
All right.
Let's go ahead and get into that.
First story of the day. Japan will be giving away 10,000 airline tickets in an effort to gain more tourists. After Japan's earthquake, tourists have dropped by half. People who are interested in receiving these tickets will have to plan out an agenda and write what they expect to learn and get out of the trip and submit it. And then if the person is selected, they'll have to blog about their trip and use a social network site to talk about their trip. So if you've ever considered going to Japan and you don't really worry about possibly getting radiation, this is a great opportunity for you.
Yo.
Personally.
When I saw that, DZ, I was just like, yo, are they serious?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's almost like they're probably going to spend more money getting tourists into their country than they'd make off what they would spend, because they plan on actually spending about $1 billion in this effort to get people to fly in. Well, yeah, just to fly in, that's how much they plan on paying. And then after you fly into the country, you're on your own. You pay for your own accommodations, food, all that. So if you've ever wanted to go to Japan, you probably just knocked down the price about $2,000, $2,500.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal, though. We'll keep everyone updated on that.
Last week in Google's third quarter report, we found out that YouTube has more than 800 million people visit their site a month. And today, Google announced that they will start selling music, artist merchandise, and digital downloads and concert tickets on their YouTube site. YouTube has teamed up with websites such as iTunes, Amazon, Topspin, and SongClick to promote these efforts. YouTube will be releasing these features over a next couple weeks. You know, how do you think this will take off? Do you think it'll actually work if they sell these items on YouTube?
You know what? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see because it just seems like it's a whole lot. Like, just like with this Google Plus thing, it just seems like it's just a whole lot going on. I don't know. You think everybody can take in all of this at one time?
Yeah, you know, I feel like they're almost trying to expand themselves too much because personally me, why would I not buy the music right off iTunes on my computer if I already have iTunes on my computer? I don't really like, it's almost like you're going through a third party, and me, that doesn't make me feel comfortable doing all that shit. So I don't think, I mean, personally me, I wouldn't bother with anything like that, and I can't understand, I mean, it's convenient, it's all in one spot, but personally I'd rather go to about place like Ticketmaster and get my tickets, or you know, you go to an extra website even though you're right on YouTube, but I think I'd trust a little bit more.
Right, I'm with you on that. Definitely.
In Zimbabwe, three women were arrested on 17 counts of aggravated sex assault. Now, the part that got me about this is they got caught because one of the women's cars were in a car wreck. And in the car wreck, they were found with possession of 33 used condoms.
Yo.
Which,
I'm sorry. What the hell?
Yeah, that's so damn nasty. Number one, they smell like shit. So, be rolling around with 33 used condoms in your car. Like, what the hell? At least take them out and put them in your house in a jar or something. Which, that's just as fucked up.
Put them in a jar next to the teeth.
And no, it's not liquid Splenda.
All right, that's not funny. But, you know, in all seriousness, because we're all trying to figure out why this is happening, you know, some people are shocked that this is happening because these women are attacking these men. And it's just unfortunate because so many different things are happening right now, and I think we're all like, what in the world is going on? So is the world really ending? What do you think, Zeezy?
Yeah, I mean, I think this shit's crazy, and police believe that this may also solve a string of sex assaults on hitchhikers that's been going on for the past 2 years. And the three women that were involved were all in their 20s, and the women would be able to assault these men because they would ask them if they would want a drink, and the drink would be laced. But the question I ask is, how ugly do you have to be that you have to rape every man you come across? Because, really, I know probably a lot of people that are more than willing. They might ask for a direct deposit. They might only want to do it by that way. They might necessarily just want to give it up. But this shit's crazy. And that. A professor from the University of Zimbabwe actually says that what the contents, the semen or whatever, is used for rituals in some sections of their society.
What kind of damn ritual?
That's what I would like to know. What the hell involves semen for for anything besides making children, honestly?
Wow. Yeah, that's something that we definitely... I wonder what's going to come out of this, because I can't imagine what in the world is going to happen to these women. So this is crazy, but yeah, okay. Ugh.
That's all I have for you today, though, on the G Report.
All right, Zeezy, well, thank you for the G Report. I know you guys are pulling in a little bit early. We're waiting for our guests to show up. They're running just a little behind, but they should be on shortly. But I just want you guys to know that, once again, if you are in any danger whatsoever and you are being abused or you know someone that is being abused, please, please have them call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. You are not alone. Please call for help. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Welcome back. I just want you guys to know that some of you may not have heard, you know, we have all these national months that we're celebrating. Breast Cancer Awareness is this month, and also National Domestic Violence Month Awareness is in October as well. And if you are listening right now, as we said before in this show, if you are in any type of danger, please call 911. Also, if you also need another number to call, the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Once again, if you are in danger, please call 911 or the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. You are not alone. Please call for help. All right, so with me on the line, I have Beth Morrison, the president and CEO of Haven, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so, so much. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on our show at the last minute. Please share with us what services Haven provides to the community in Michigan.
Sorry about that. Yes. Haven is a domestic violence and sexual assault treatment and prevention program. We're located in Metro Detroit area. We have a domestic violence shelter, a crisis line. We offer counseling, individual and group counseling for children who've witnessed domestic violence or experienced sexual assault, as well as adults. We have a prevention education program where we go out into schools and meet with school kids and educate them around the issues of both domestic violence and sexual assault. We also have a court advocacy program. We assist people in getting personal protection orders, really kind of a broad continuum of services that many survivors of domestic violence or sexual assault can utilize.
Oh, okay. Yo, it's a lot. It's a lot, and I definitely applaud you for doing what you guys are doing because it's needed. I mean, you know, what can we say? Like, I've been affected by this personally and in my family, and definitely if people don't know where to go for help, I mean, this is how they get caught up. So definitely. In the past 5 years, though, would you say that the domestic stats have gotten better as far as are more men, women, and children coming forward?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to necessarily gauge reporting or those seeking help. What we do know is that violence against women and children, specifically domestic violence and sexual assault, are the most underreported of all crimes. So most, national statistics and other statistics are based on crime reports and crime reporting. And so there's just a lot of estimation that goes on with the incident rate of domestic and sexual violence. And so I think that what's happened is the economy across the United States has been so difficult for several years in a row now, is that I wouldn't necessarily say that the incident of domestic or sexual violence is better or worse. I think what we're seeing is that the severity and the frequency of abuse has definitely increased over the last few years, which maybe could be attributed to some of the economy.
Definitely. I think that is happening because a lot of people are more stressed out and they're definitely, you know, frustrated about everything. You know, women can't take care of their family, men can't take care of their family, and, you know, people are just walking out, or they're just, you know, in recent news, as you can see, like, people are just, you know, they're either drowning their kids or they're just killing them. And it's just like, you know, how do we identify this before it happens?
Well, I think one thing, just before we move on from the economic part of it, that I've consistently been saying is that the poor economy does not make a person abusive. What the poor economy has done is taken a person who's abusive and making the abuse a lot more severe and the frequency a lot greater. You know, if an individual is by nature and by belief system and by their, you know, their values and their social norms and beliefs, if they're not an abusive person, the likelihood of them becoming abusive and killing, hurting, maiming others is probably pretty slim compared to, you know, if these are typically individuals who've exhibited some form of power and control in the past. So I think it's the economic conditions, you know, often will bring that to a head and make the severity be much higher than it was before. But to your question, how do you identify it? I think it's just looking at, many victims of domestic violence want to, they're ashamed, they're embarrassed, they're confused by the violence that's happening in their life. And not all are going to immediately reach out for help from families, friends, or others. And so I think it's a matter of just paying attention, and looking and listen. And sometimes it's listening between the lines. Is this person feeling like their life is out of control? Are they withdrawing from other people? Is their partner exhibiting a lot of control in their life? They need to have permission to be able to do things, go places. Do they have no access to money? Does their partner control all the money? Do they, you know, do they appear that they don't have a lot of choice in their life? Are they nervous and skittish all the time? I mean, there's a lot of different things, and I think that it's just a matter of taking the time and asking and approaching a person and finding a way to not pass judgment and say, you know, hey, are you being abused? You know, I'd get rid of that loser if I was you, or, you know, or something like that, instead of approaching it in that way, is to saying, how can I help you? How can I support you? You know, what is it that you would like to have happen, and is there a way that I can help you with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of, you know, we often, it's often the approach is with, you know, passing judgment and saying, well, I would never let him do that. If that was me, the first time he hit me, I would leave. Those aren't helpful statements.
Or calling someone, you're stupid for staying and stuff like that. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Now, those things are harmful because the person's already insecure and their self-esteem is at all-time low. So coming at them in that way can be more harmful than, you know, than good. So, but I
Absolutely.
Noticed that you have been doing this for over 30 years. And I was wondering, can you tell when someone is hiding abuse because you've been doing this for so long?
Well, I don't know necessarily if it's just because I've been doing it for a long time that I guess maybe it makes me a little bit more suspicious. I just see that. I think one of the things that, you know, I guess I always kind of consider a red flag for me is that person who always appears pretty powerless in life, you know, that for some women, certainly not all women, but for some women, you know, you kind of reach a part in your life where you don't have to necessarily consult your partner for everything. You know, and just sometimes I think in being able to recognize and see that, you know, they can never have fun with you, you know.
Right,
they're just,
right.
Very isolated, and they are always, well, I'm going to have to ask, you know, my partner, oh, I'm going to have to check this with him, or no, he isn't going to want me to do this, or no, I don't think that's going to be okay. I can't be away from home on Friday nights or, you know, or whatever. And just, you know,
right.
they're just appear to be really unable to make choices and decisions on their own, I think is one. I think also, you know, there's still, you know, recognizing that abuse takes many forms. It's just not all physical. So if we wait just to see, you know, watch for our friend to have a black eye, and that's the proof we need that they're being abused, we might never see a black eye.
Right.
But just, you know, do they appear unhappy, or do they appear frightened? Do they, you know, they don't have an ability to make a lot of decisions on their own, or even the physical obvious, too. You know, it's hot, and they always wear turtlenecks. You know, it's like
yeah,
not normal for someone. It's hot for somebody to always wear long sleeves and turtlenecks. Well, why are they always dressed
right.
that way?
In 100-degree
you know,
weather,
they might never,
right.
yeah, they might never have the black eye, but their partner, you know, only abuses them in parts of their body that others can't see, so they hide from that. So I think it's a lot of those kind of symptoms, but I think sometimes it's taking the time to listen, and sometimes it's the things that people don't say that's more telling than what they do say.
Oh, yeah, and also with kids. I, you know, with kids as well, I say this all the time. I have a niece and two nephews, and they're the happiest little kids in the world. But you think about kids that are so withdrawn when you see them, you know, 4 or 5 years old. They don't want to have fun. They're so withdrawn, and they're not happy. And it's just like, I think some people look over that, and I'm wondering why. So I know you see that all the time with little kids, you know, just being really withdrawn, and kids are not made that way. So why don't people,
right.
when people see that, how come they don't act on that?
You know, a lot of people are just, you know, it's not my business, I'm afraid. What if there's retaliation to me? It's somebody else's problem. I bet somebody else is going to do it, you know, that there's a lot of avoidance of wanting to be able to confront the issue, just feeling really inadequate.
Yeah. That's tough. I know it. I am so terrified, especially with my little niece. She's like, I swear she's the happiest little girl in the world. And the times that she's been like, she's never, you know, there's only been a couple of times she didn't want to get on the phone with me. And I've just been like, okay, what is wrong? Because I, you know, I know what that is. And it's just like, okay, something's wrong with her. And I want to know. It doesn't matter if her brother, you know, stole something from her. I just want to know. And I think that if a lot of people took on that same attitude, just trying to figure out what is wrong, then maybe we could, you know, prevent from, you know, prevent kids from having to go through this. You know, it's just really unfortunate. But, you know, like
well,
you said,
often,
people don't want to get involved.
Yeah. You know, we often, after there's been a homicide of some kind, you know, they go around and they ask the neighbors, and there's either kind of two responses. It's like, well, yeah, that house was really loud, but, you know, we just didn't know there's something we should do. We heard fighting and arguing, but we didn't know what to do, so we didn't do anything. Or the opposite, you hear the neighbor saying, oh, I'm so surprised. He was, like, the nicest guy ever.
Right.
And we're so surprised that he would do this. And I think, you know, ignorance is also bliss, too. So, you know, it's I mean, some people are surprised because batterers and child abusers, they typically are a nice guy. I mean, their target, they have a very specific target. They're not going to go off on a neighbor because that's not their, they don't own their neighbor, but they own their children. They own their spouse.
That's right.
They own their partner. And so their abuse is very targeted. So the rest of the world around them sees them as being, you know, this really nice guy. And then the other, on the other side of it, though, it's also really sad, too, that when there are multiple cries for help and we just turn around and say, because this makes us feel too uncomfortable or whatever, we just think, well, somebody else will call or that's just their business and walking away, when that might have been the one lifeline that they had, you don't know their cries for help might literally have been cries for help, hoping that someone else outside will hear them and will be able to
right.
be the people who can call for help when they feel like
right.
they can't call the help themselves.
Right. Yeah. This is something that I know we got a lot of people. We got our chat room. We have a chat room as well, and we have people in there. And I mean, we have people that are, we have single fathers on global14.com. And, you know, a lot of single mothers out there. And, you know, I just feel like we all together could do a better job with keeping our kids safe. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to get this information out there. And like I said, I applaud what Haven is doing for the community. I have one more question for you, though.
Sure.
What advice would you give to someone who is listening right now, whether it's a man, woman, or child? If you can do all three, that would be great.
Well, really for anyone, I think, you know, if you are experiencing violence in your life where your spouse, your partner, a parent, or a significant other in your life is being violent to you, and I'm talking the broad spectrum of violence, not all violence is physical. There's emotional, verbal, sexual, financial, there's a lot of tactics that are used, but when somebody has that power and control over you, is to reach out for help. You had mentioned earlier the national hotline, 800-799-7233. You know, there's a national hotline. There's many people around the country. There's programs such as my program, Haven, around the country. It's called a crisis line. I mean, call these hotlines. And the first step is just getting yourself educated about what is going on, what are my options, what kind of resources are out there that might be able to assist me and help me. So I think education is a key, and that just means picking up the phone, you know, once and starting to gather some information about what your situation is, how and who might be able to help you change that situation.
Right. Yeah.
Taking that first step, making that first phone call.
Yeah, definitely. If you're listening, I know it's hard and you want to do it and I mean, please, by all means, really think about your life. You're not, like I said all the time, you're not alone. You know, please call for help. Once again, Beth, thank you so much. This was last minute, you guys. I called Beth.
Oh, no problem.
And I called Beth, and I was like, Beth, please come on the show. She was like, no problem. And
Once again, we salute you in Haven for everything that you're doing for your community, and we definitely wish you guys the best. And if we need you guys again, I will definitely be calling you.
Oh, no problem. We're glad to help.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Once again, lifers. You too. Once again, lifers, if you are in danger at all, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. All right? If you are a survivor of domestic violence, please call in. We would love to hear your story because your story can also help someone else that might be listening and they're too afraid to call. So call in, 760-913-4119. All right, so let's take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with the spilled tea of the night.
And I was like, why are you so obsessed with me?
Right now, let's get into the G Report with my girl, Renita. What's up, Renita?
What's going on, crush?
What's going on? I know we did a little, we were trying to lose time a little bit before our guest got on, so kind of broke you and Ryan up. Sorry about that.
I know you're trying to make it all short because, you know, I'm probably going to be talking about someone you don't like today. I get
sabotage. Man, go ahead with that. All right.
But that's
go ahead.
Okay. So what's going on, lifers? This is your girl, Renita, with the spilled tea for the day. First of all, I hope this rumor is not true. So word on the street is that Toni Braxton and Terrence J from 106 and Park might be an item. Now, Media Takeout reported this first. They posted up, like, Facebook messages of them flirting back and forth. And, I mean, Toni, you did a song. You did a video with Trey Songz. If you're trying to, like, get with a young Tenderoni, I would go with Trey Songz and hit that before I would hit Terrence J. I'm sorry. 106 and Park was never the same after Free. And my boy, AJ, I'm going to be the first one to say it. I don't care. Lifers, come after me. You know where to find me. But it's true. I am just not feeling Roxy and Terrence J. And I hear he's getting into acting. I'm like, Toni, don't do it. Shout out to the Braxtons, Queenstown in the house. I know them from back home. I'm like, please don't make this mistake, boo. Please, please. Go after Trey. This weekend, Black Girls Rock took center stage in New York. Shout out to Beverly Bond. I heard it was a very, very nice event, a complete success. The more she does these events, I mean, the bigger the better it gets. Just a few people in attendance was Jill Scott, Mary J. Blige, Estelle, Regina King, like Taraji P. Henson. It was crazy. But just to give you a little tea, because you know me, it wouldn't be the Spilled Tea Report without some tea falling somewhere. We had one vocalist, newcomer Elle Varner, took a tumble during her performance, which I'm
sure
BET will cut out, yes. But what I heard was this young up-and-coming female, and I'm going to buy her music just because of this. They said not only did she take a tumble because she had pretty high heels, but she never missed a note, crush. They said she was still on beat, on tune, everything. Now, that is a singer. You fall, bust your head, and still hitting that, kudos. I'm going to be buying your album because that means you really can sing, boo, so I'm fully supporting.
Right. She
kept it together. And a female gossip, real famous vocalist. I ain't going to say her name, but y'all will see when you watch the show that will be out in the coming weeks on BET. Pulled a diva card. They did her whole set. She was like, I don't like it. Rewind. And they had to shoot her whole set over. Now it did up. Yes. And you know how other artists can be. You know, people started to whisper and get a little huffy and puffy, but because of the, you know, the vocalist status, they let it go, but it did make the process and the production of this show just a tad bit longer than usual. Also, we had Tamar Braxton did the red carpet. I heard she did an excellent job, but Tay-Tay, I heard that you were wearing a fashion don't. Now, you are in the limelight now, boo, and your husband back Lady Gaga. There should not be any fashion don'ts. And, you know, we're from Maryland, and she's from the East Coast. You have an image to maintain. Don't do our neighborhood like that, boo. Step your game up. Get a stylist. You got the money. You're making that show money now, boo. Get it together. On this episode of Disney Gone Wild, yet another Disney actor loses their mind and gets in trouble. Mitchell Musso was just busted in Burbank for drunk driving. Now, I've seen him out and about. If people aren't familiar with Mitchell, he's from the show Hannah Montana. And I've seen him, you know, in like the L.A. scene, you know, stumbling, drunk, you know, and jumping in the car. And I'm like just shaking my head. Well, apparently you got busted, dude, in Burbank.
Wow.
What is going What's going on with these Disney kids, crush? I mean, Disney actors equals trouble. Let's just go down the line real quick. Britney Spears. Christina Aguilera. Justin Timberlake. Shall I go on? You know what, with them three, I don't even need to go on. Crush, would you let your child even be a Disney star?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie, but I think that, you know, I don't know. I think with this stuff that's going on and how everybody's turning out, I'm wondering, you know, where the disconnect was. So maybe I would try to, you know, I don't know. Maybe I would try to be there for them and not try to push them so hard, you know, try to still let them be kids in the process, because it doesn't look like these people are allowed to be, you know, kids. All they did was work. So,
Me? You can't be a Disney kid, a Nick kid either. My child will not be a Lindsay Lohan or a Miley Cyrus. No, ma'am. All right, guys. This gossip's just for you guys. Okay, so listen to me closely, gentlemen, because y'all going to have to step y'all game up, apparently. Megan Good claims she is keeping her goodies for Jesus. Now, granted, you know, she said you know, until a guy, like, she's not going to be doing nothing until a guy comes to her correct with a ring in his hand, like she told Sister to Sister, that since she broke up with her last NFL boo-boo, that the only man in her life is going to be God. Now, word on the street, and I saw this a couple of times myself, Megan has been hanging out with a few more females than usual, and some I would just say are known to be in the life. If you don't know what the life is, I need you to check your Ebonics books or hit me up later and I will explain. But for those that do, you know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
So, all right, guys, again, y'all better step your game up because it sounds like if you don't lose Megan good to God, y'all about to lose her to Nicole. And we just, I don't know about that one. But I'm going to keep a close eye on this myself. But don't worry, Crush, because you want me to hook that up for you? Because, you know,
no.
I know people.
No. No.
You sure? Because, I mean, we
That's
can hook that
say.
Up.
No.
You already
no,
got
no.
the Joe's mixtape?
No, man. I'll pass. Nah, that sounds like a big old ball of confusion. I'll pass.
Really? Well,
Renita,
I think we should take a vote. Anybody that wants to see Crush with Megan Good, you can call in now at 760-913-4119 and hit us up, and I can make that happen. So just give me a call and let me see what y'all think.
Man, do I need to mute your ass again? I need to mute Renita. I told y'all you give Renita too much time, and she starts going off the handle now. So, look. Say what you got to say and get off my line.
Okay. Well, this is your girl, Renita, for your spilt tea for the day on Real Talk on Global 14 Radio. You can hit me, find me, do what you got to do to reach me. I'm on Global 14. I'm at Rock and Rolla. That's RockNRolla.
All right. Thank you, Renita, for another wonderful spilt tea report. Can't wait to see what you got coming for us tomorrow. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody who joined the show today. I want to thank the guest, Beth Morrison, for coming on at the last minute. Also, all the lifers in the chat room, everybody that's tweeting, I see you, Ash. You know, thank you so much for all the promo you did today. Cupid, Renita, everybody coming together, Talk to Tiger. Appreciate it. I just want you guys to know that we do have a new co-host for Sex Talk on Fridays, and that is our man, Bruce. He is the veteran, so please welcome him. Go on global14.com, find him. His handle is classic42, and let him know, you know, tell him congrats. You know, we're proud of him, definitely. Stone Cold Lifer right there, very committed. All right, also want to thank JD. Thank God all the lifers out there continue to support us. Our numbers are climbing. So, I mean, where there's growth, there's going to be a celebration. So you can find us on global14.com and Twitter at global14 and at G14 Radio. That is G14 Radio. Thanks for tuning in to Global 14 Radio, LTL for life. Good night.
So death.